welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. The rose. It is only a tiny rosebud, a flower of God's design, but I cannot unfold the petals with these clumsy hands of mine. The secret of unfolding flowers is not known to such as I. The flower God opens so sweetly in my hands would fade and die. If I cannot unfold a rosebud, this flower of God's design, then how can I think I have wisdom to unfold this life of mine? So I'll trust Him for His leading each moment of every day, and I'll look to Him for His guidance each step of the pilgrim way. For the pathway that lies before me, my Heavenly Father knows, I'll trust Him to unfold the moments just as He unfolds the rose. We're going to be talking about wanting God's will on this Emmaus Bible Hour. You'll recall we're studying the course Lessons for Christian Living, and this is Lesson 8. We'd like to send you this entire course for your own personal study. So listen for a special announcement at the close of the program. Now, wanting God's will. How can a Christian know God's will in his life? Every Christian should be keenly interested in knowing God's will for his life. Unless the Lord's plan is known and obeyed, then our lives are wasted. We'll miss the Master's well done. The Scriptures are emphatic in teaching that God does reveal His will to those who are humble. Let's look at Psalm 25:9. That's the 25th Psalm and the 9th verse. He leads the humble in justice and teaches the humble His way. God will direct those who acknowledge Him in all their ways. Note also these great verses on the will of God in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And we'd suggest that if you're serious about knowing the will of God, that you memorize these two verses, Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Those who want to know God's will for their lives should not be conformed to this world, or, as someone has paraphrased it, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Those who want to please God should have a single pure desire to know and to do His will. Whether one is seeking guidance as to a momentary problem or as to life career, there are five steps to be followed. These may be summarized as follows. Yield, confess, pray, study, wait. I'll repeat those just in case you'd like to write them down. And we'll be talking more about them. Here they are again. Yield, confess, pray, study, and wait. First, yield. To yield is to present oneself to the Lord. It means to lay aside personal hopes, ambitions, and desires. It means to want His way supremely. Paul yielded when he asked, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Isaiah yielded when he said, "Here am I, send me." Amaziah yielded, for we read that he willingly offered himself unto the Lord. And so our first step is to yield. Second, confess. If we want to be in the center of His will, we must confess and forsake any secret sins which we cherish. Remember the words of the psalmist. This is Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That reference again was Psalm 66 and the 18th verse. We should also confess our own helplessness and inability and depend on His power. again in the Psalms, and this is time, it's Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. That was Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Let's pause just now to give you an opportunity to do those two things. Yield, that is, present yourself to the Lord. Confess, yes, confess your sins and your need of His help. As the music plays, take those first steps toward knowing the will of God. Listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This time we're talking about wanting God's will. And I hope we'll do more than just talk about it. I hope we'll indicate to the Lord that we're serious about this matter of wanting His will for our lives. We're on Lesson 8 and page 2 of that lesson. For those of you who have this course, Lessons for Christian Living. This correspondence course is from the Emmaus Bible School. It's one that you can study in your own home and get special credit for it. We'll be giving you an address at the close of this lesson. In wanting God's will, we've suggested two steps thus far. Yield and confess. Our third basic, pray. This simply means that we must come before the Lord regularly, asking for His direction. We should claim His promise for guidance, asking Him to do as He has said. Our prayers should have His glory as their chief aim. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians on this subject. This is Colossians 1 and verse 9. I'll repeat that reference. Colossians chapter 1 and the 9th verse. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Our next word is study. Spend much time in the Word of God. Read it while you're on your knees, asking God to speak to you through it. Read it slowly. Read it thoughtfully. Read it expectantly. David prayed in Psalm 143, "Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God." Our final word is wait. If God does not answer immediately, then wait. Psalm 62:5. This is another psalm of David. You'll find so much help in finding the will of God in the Psalms. Psalm 62 and the 5th verse. My soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. If you have prayed for direction and no answer comes, then God's guidance is for you to stay where you are. If you are really trusting the Lord, you will not be in a hurry. There's a good verse on this in Isaiah 28 and verse 16. He that believeth shall not make haste. That was Isaiah 28, verse 16. God reveals His will to us in several ways. He may use one or a combination of the following methods. The first, guidance through the Bible. The Scriptures give direction in two ways. First of all, they definitely prohibit certain courses of action. For instance, If a Christian were praying for guidance as to whether he should marry an unsaved girl, he could get the answer in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Let's look that up. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the 14th verse. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? That verse states the matter very clearly. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. On the other hand, God often uses verses of Scripture to guide us to make certain courses of action. A verse that you may have never noticed before will take on a new meaning because it tells you what to do at the very time when you are praying for direction. We also receive guidance through Christians. It is also very helpful, then, to seek advice of mature, spiritual Christians. Their experience and counsel can often save a younger person from serious pitfalls. God also uses circumstances to guide us. Since God controls the entire universe, He can and often does plan the circumstances of our lives to reveal His will. A letter, for instance, may arrive at just the right time with just the information needed to point the way. And the fourth method is through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God can influence our convictions, our desires, our inclinations in such a way as to make God's will clear. The peace of Christ then acts as an umpire in our hearts. The guidance becomes so obvious that to refuse it would be the same as disobedience. No Christian should try to manufacture his own guidance. If he does, the Bible says he will lie down in sorrow. And one further word. When God gives light, walk in it. Don't be like the horse or the mule which has to be guided forcibly by bit and bridle. It is better to be guided by the Father's eye than by the bit and bridle of chastening, someone has said. As we obey the Lord's guidance day by day, He gives us more light on the pathway ahead. And as we obey in the ordinary experiences of life, we can be sure of guidance in the great crises of life. Obedience is the basis of a life of true happiness and lasting value. And so we conclude our lesson on wanting God's will. We hope this has been helpful to you. We would very much like to hear from you, so write to us. If you have a question, send it along. For those of you studying at home, it's time to take the exam and mail it to the address indicated. And be sure to be with us the next time we come your way with the Emmaus Bible Hour.